The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I had said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples as he watched Jesus walk by. He exclaimed, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Come and see. I just love those words back to those following Jesus. Come and see. I use those words over the years to name our pilgrimages to the Holy Land, come and see, because telling people about it is not like going there and seeing it. Even more wonderful to me is a very famous etching that is found in the lower levels of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, the site, many believe, is of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. When you're there, if you go see this, you go down long sets of stairs, two of them, down, down, down to the level of the 3rd or 4th century church. And it's there that archaeologists found early Christian graffiti. Last week I talked about tattoos, this week it's graffiti. The etching on the wall there is a crude graffiti etching of a boat. Beneath that boat is an inscription reading, "Domine Iwimos." Basically, this says, "Lord, we came. Lord, we came." Archaeologists are confident that it must have been a Christian pilgrim who arrived in Jerusalem from the sea, making his or her way to the place of the death, burial, and resurrection, much like millions of pilgrims today. This graffiti is dated to approximately the year 300, And it's one of the earliest archaeological evidences of Christian pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This is interesting and telling in that it reflects that already, only a short time after the death and resurrection of Jesus, pilgrims were already coming to Jerusalem to see the place where Jesus lived, performed his miracles, and conquered death, just as pilgrims do today. Jesus told those disciples in this scripture today from John to come and see. And the Christian that put that graffiti on that wall 300 years later did just that. Jesus then asked them some other questions. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? In the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is portrayed very differently than in the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here, we don't hear of locusts and wild honey. Here, we don't get a portrait of John in the Jordan. We don't hear in the Gospel of John about John the Baptist and Jesus' mother meeting each other and knowing each other. We get none of that. No, here in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist is the one that people go to, and he is always, always pointing away from himself. One commentator said if you put John the Baptist into our day, and if he had a social media presence, and people came to him asking for answers, John the Baptist would always be pointing away, always directing them to the person they should see, Jesus. He would not be posting everything about himself, but rather everything he could about Jesus. This gospel comes packed with questions. First of them is possibly, who are you looking for? Many come to John the Baptist because he's the one who's been crying out in the wilderness at the Jordan. When they do, they find John saying, I'm not the one, but pointing them to who he thought was the one. When those leave John and get to Jesus, Jesus then asks them the second question, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? This is such an important question then and now. What are you seeking? You have heard me use this quote often that I have no idea who it originally said. But it goes like this, God created us in God's image, and we have been returning the favor ever since. Our very human tendency is to, in our mind and hearts, turn Jesus into whatever we need Jesus to be. That's not all bad. There is good in that to some degree. I've shared with some of you the story of the White Fathers, who the order that oversees St. Anne's Church in Jerusalem. I was once talking to one of the wonderful brothers at the entrance to St. Anne's when one of my pilgrims came up to him and asked, just what kind of church is this? And the brother replied, Sister, when you walk through those doors, Jesus will make it whatever kind of church you need it to be. I love that. In a sense, this monk was doing what John the Baptist teaches us in this gospel, to point the sojourner in Jesus' direction. In a sense, he's saying, walk through those doors, open your heart and mind, and just listen. This will become what you need it to be. That is all a bit different, but somewhat related to the idea of us turning God into what we need God to be. And we should always question that. Just about any time we get real comfortable with what God is to us and how we relate to God, we should get really nervous and question it again. It's very human and fraught with issues for us to get complacent with just God, who God really is. I'm reading now just about through the latest biography of Mark Twain, someone I'm truly intrigued by, I've read a lot, and really admire. And in it, I was reminded of a short little essay Twain wrote called The War Prayer. It was never published in his lifetime. It wasn't published until 1923 because Twain and all those around him who knew about it knew it would be so controversial that he shouldn't ever publish it. I'm glad they did. Twain often took on religion, especially Christianity, for being hypocritical and somewhat unthought through. In the war prayer, he makes the point that our desires as humans, our requests of God, often come at the expense of someone or something else. It revolves around a scene at church one Sunday just before the young men, their young men, would march out of town and into war. The pastor gave a long and patriotic prayer, which was summed up as, "God, grant us the victory. Make us the winners." After that prayer, a man in a long robe and a long gray hair and a look in his eyes of wisdom and ancient knowledge no one had ever seen, walks up the middle aisle, walks up to the preacher just finished with this prayer, gently touches the pastor's arm, and motions for him to step aside. And he steps into the pulpit. The old man proceeds to talk to the congregation. "I come from the throne, bearing a message from Almighty God. The word smote the house with a shock. If the stranger perceived it, he gave no attention. He went on. He has heard the prayer of his servant, your shepherd, and will grant it if such shall be your desire after I, his messenger, shall have explained to you its import." That is to say, its full import. "For it is like unto many of the prayers of men, in that it asks for more than he who utters it is aware of, except he pause and think. God's servant and yours has prayed his prayer, which he thought and you may think is one, but it's really two. One spoken, the other not. Both always reach the ear of God. I am here," he says, "to read the unuttered prayer, the one you did not hear today, but the one that was definitely prayed today, right here." And he proceeds. "O Lord, our Father, our young patriots, idols of our hearts, go forth to battle. Be thou near them, with them in spirit. We also go forth from the sweet peace of our beloved firesides to smite the foe. O Lord, our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to drown the thunder of the guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out roofless, with little children to wander unfriended the wastes of their desolated land in rags and hunger and thirst. Sports of the sun flames of summer and the icy winds of winter, broken in spirit, worn with travail, imploring thee for the refuge of the grave, and denied it for our sakes, who adore thee, Lord. Blast their hopes, blight their lives, protract their bitter pilgrimage, make heavy their steps, water their way with their tears, stain the white snow with the blood of their wounded feet. We ask it in the spirit of love, of him who is the source of and who is the ever faithful refuge and friend of all that are sore beset and seek his aid with humble and contrite hearts. Amen.
Amen.
After a pause, the old man continues, "You have prayed it. If you still desire it, speak. The Most High awaits." Twain ends this short story with one line. It was stated by all present later that the man was a lunatic and made no sense. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? What do you want? I think one of the best responses in the world is the one Jesus gave. Come and see. Not, let me explain. Not, telling them what he was up to, not letting them get away with treating this new life Jesus calls us to as a spectator sport, but inviting them to come and see it. It's always important to remember that what we go looking for, what we think we need, what we think is good for us, often isn't at all. We have to be open to the answer we don't expect, the one we don't want to hear, always aware of the uttered prayer, and just as equally, the unuttered prayer, because we always pray both. Jesus didn't give an explanation. He gave them an experience. He invited them to walk beside him, not just hear him tell it, but to come and see. Our call and our gift and blessing is to be able to say, Lord, we came. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.